27 minutes after the hour on a Transcendent Tuesday, and we welcome back, because he's been gone for a couple of weeks, Dr. Don Clark. This has been fascinating. I think I've lost count. I think this is part 11 in the series, and it'll continue until we're done, but we're kind of bogged down in chapter 9. That's a heavy-duty chapter. Are we down to the 70 weeks, Don?
We're coming up on the 70th week in Daniel. So in chapter 9, last time you may have remembered that we talked about the 69 weeks. And the 69 weeks is actually one of the most amazing prophecies, I believe, in the Bible. Because it basically, you know, gave the time when the Messiah was going to come. And so we had 69, it's actually 69 weeks of years. And so we went through that a little bit last time, but if folks are really interested in that particular subject, Sir Robert Anderson in 1894 wrote a book called The Coming Prince. And he outlined when the commencement to, because the 69 weeks, it starts at the commencement to restore Jerusalem, and then it ends at the Messiah, the Prince. And the Messiah, the Prince, of course, is Jesus, Jesus coming. And that is 69 weeks times 7, which leads us, in times 360 days, leads us to 173,000 days, 880. And if you start, you know, counting your time, you got to say, okay, when was the commandment to restore Jerusalem actually sent out? That happened to be at the decree of Artaxerxes Longimanus, which was on March 14th, 445 BC. And then the triumphal entry, according to Sir Robert Anderson, happened on April 6th, 32 AD. And that's exactly 173,880 days. So it was to the day that Jesus rode in to Jerusalem on the donkey. And you recall, you know, people were saying, Hosanna in the highest. And they were telling him, you know, teacher, tell your folks to be quiet. And he said, well, you know, if they're quiet, these very rocks will cry out. So, you know, the rocks will cry out that the Messiah has basically come. Now, you recall that before Jesus entered the city, he looked over the city and he wept. And why did he weep? Do you remember? I mean, this is in the New Testament, so.
Well,
he wept over the city because they did not recognize that this was the time for the Messiah to show up.
It's interesting because that period, they knew of Daniel's prophecy. The people were expectant. They were figuring the Messiah was close, and they missed him.
They missed him because they were looking not for the suffering servant, which Jesus' first time, you know, he came as a suffering servant, and he actually, you know, he had to die for our sins, so he had to come as a suffering servant. They missed him because they were expecting a king to overthrow basically their oppressors, who at this time were the Romans. And Jesus weeps over the city. And because of that, he says, because you didn't recognize the day that of your Messiah, you will be partially blinded for a period of time. And that period of time happens to be until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. And so we, between the 69th week and the 70th week, there is an interval. And we'll just jump into that, because in verse 26 of Daniel, it tells us that there's an interval. So it says after the 62 weeks, that is, there was the 7 weeks and then the 62 weeks gets you to 69. It says, an anointed one shall be cut off. And who is the anointed one?
It had to be Jesus.
That's Jesus, right? So the anointed one shall be cut off, which he was, and shall have nothing but not for himself. So he didn't come, and even, you know, Daniel was told, because he's just writing this down from Gabriel, right? Gabriel is telling him this. So he probably Daniel himself didn't realize what these verses meant. And we have the advantage of being able to look back and say, oh, okay, this is obviously what this means. But if you continue, so the word cut off here is karat in Hebrew, karat, which means to cut off or to eliminate or to kill or to execute. Mm. And so we know that Jesus was killed. He was executed and hung on a cross to die. And so after the 62 weeks or the 69 weeks total, the anointed one would be cut off. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and its end shall come with a flood, and to the end there shall be war. Desolation of our decreed. Okay, so let's break this apart a little bit. So who are the people of the prince who is to come?
That has to be the Romans.
The Romans. So the Romans obviously came in, and when was the city destroyed? And more importantly, when was the temple destroyed?
70 AD.
Well, yeah, 70 AD.
That so number again. There's that number that, again.
Yeah, so we know that the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, and the end of sacrifices obviously weren't going to be taking place at the temple anymore after that period of time. And the people, that is the Jewish people, get dispersed after that. And so it's like, well, you know, us Christians looking at that would say, hey, did God then forget about the Jews? And is his time frame now all focused on the Christians, that is the believers in Jesus Christ? Well, that's completely incorrect, because he did not forget about the Jews, because he has a plan for them and has always had a plan from them from the very, very beginning. And so, but they will and have and continue to go through hardship. And as we'll look at maybe some other verses, later during this broadcast, as to what was the consequence of them not recognizing their Messiah. Okay, so we have the prince who shall come, and of course that's the Romans, and the prince who is to come, Nimrod the first. This one is the last 33 titles in the Old Testament. So anyway, that's the one who yet is to come. Also can refer to the Antichrist.
Are you referring to the Hebrew here? Because in English, I don't see reference to Nimrod.
No. There is no specific reference, to Nimrod. But if you remember back in Genesis, Nimrod kind of was the first prince.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so back in Genesis, after the flood, Nimrod says, hey, I'm going to build this tower up to heaven. Why does he want to build that? Is because he wants to be placed on the top of it and all the peoples of the earth to praise him. So he's trying to put himself in a position of God. So he's got to get up and into heaven. And so he kind of commands the building of the temple. I mean, of the tower.
And of course, this is kind of reprised by Nebuchadnezzar in one of his dreams, building a huge statue, which he talked about too. Shortly, you know, several years before the fall of Babylon, which was the Gentile kingdom on earth at the time. I mean, and I want to go back to what you've said continually through our episodes here, the parts of Daniel. This is the history of Gentile people. One empire after the other, after the other, after the other, up until the present time.
Yes, and beyond. Because this same prince, because you could take the physical, you know, the physical person, the prince who is to come, you can take that as a person. And of course, you know, Caesar was the prince of Rome, you know, for a time. There is a physical person, but there is a spirit behind it. And that's the point of me referencing Nimrod the first. So the same spirit that was behind Nimrod, that is the serpent that was in the garden and who told Eve, you know, said, you shall surely not die. You know, if you eat of the fruit, you're going to be wise. You're going to be like God. So he tempted her with the same thing that he was tempted with, that he wanted to be God. And maybe this temptation would be attractive to these new people here on earth and tempt them. Well, Nimrod was one of the first to actually act on that temptation and try to make himself out to be God. The Antichrist will have that same spirit. Matter of fact, and we don't have obviously time to get into all of this, but in the middle of the tribulation period, that is in after 3.5 years, the Antichrist gets this mortal wound, and he then looks like he's dead. I mean, it's mortal, so it must be that he appears to be dead, but something happens to him and he comes back to life, and all people are amazed at this. And you know, not only follow him, but are starting to worship him. And at that point in time, he goes into the Holy of Holies, presents himself to be God, which is the desolation
This is verse 27, is it not, of chapter 9 of Daniel, where they refer to for one week, yes, which would be 7 years.
Okay, so. Let me get to 27. I got a lot of notes in my.
Well,
okay,
I can,
27. Yeah. So the 70th week, all right, is Daniel chapter 9, 27. It says, and he shall make a strong covenant with many for 1 week. And for half of the week, he shall put an end to sacrifices and offerings. And on the wing of abominations shall come one who makes desolate until the decreed end is poured out on the desolator. So sounds pretty cryptic, but we can break this down. So who is he? He is the Antichrist, the first beast spoken of in Revelation. And he makes what brings him to power is because, you know, all the turmoil that we're having in the Middle East right now, and yes. Israel seems to can't really make any progress with the enemies surrounding Israel. this guy is going to come on the scene and make a treaty with Israel for 1 week. I mean, not for 1 week, for actually 7 years. It's a seven, so 1 week.
Well, the week is symbolic of 7 years, 7 days, 7 years.
Yes, it's a seven-year period. So he comes on the scene, He makes a strong covenant, that is, he makes a peace with Israel and the surrounding nations for 1 week, of course, for 7 years. And in the middle of this, so he comes in this, now we're getting into Revelation, but he comes on the white horse. So he comes as a peacemaker, if you will. He's, and we'll talk about his characteristics a little bit later, but, and he makes this peace treaty. And so this obviously says he puts an end to sacrifices and offerings. Well, for Israel to start up the sacrifices and offerings, what has to happen?
Third temple.
The third temple has to be built.
And the red heifer.
And the red heifer. So we have the red heifer. The red heifer has been identified. It's got to be 2 years old, and then it is sacrificed and burned, and then the ashes of the red heifer is the thing that makes the water of purification that is required for the temple. So we are rapidly approaching this time. What we don't have is the third temple, okay? So why don't we have the third temple? Because politically, it is impossible right now, because you pretty much have to move some of the people that are kind of occupying some of the temple space, at least the grounds. And so it is, this guy is going to be a genius and figure out how he can make peace with everybody and the surrounding folks and have the authority to do that so that Israel can build their third temple. And that the sacrifices can start again.
And there are organizations working on that temple right now, laying plans for it.
Yes, there certainly are. And they, all the implements have been made. The purple dye needed for the robes and the gowns, for the high priest, all of that is set and is in place. So the only thing that's not in place is the temple. Okay. But, with modern construction techniques, that could be built relatively quickly.
Could be 3D printed, for Pete's sakes.
I mean, it could be. Who knows? And so, we're waiting for that. But the 70th week of Daniel is actually the tribulation period. So what happens in the middle of this? And it says, for a half of the week, he put an end to the sacrifices and offerings, and on the wing of abomination shall come one who makes desolate until the decreed end is poured out on the desolator. So who is the desolator? The desolator is the Antichrist. And who is going to put an end to the desolation? And the abomination that makes desolation here is this guy goes in mid-trib, so he somehow gets a mortal wound, and he raises up, and then he goes in to the Holy of Holies within the new temple that is going to be built, declares himself to be God. And people believe him. People say, this guy, he's God. And then we get the mark of the beast and all this other stuff. But all hell breaks loose after that. So the Great Tribulation, the period of time that's called the Great Tribulation, is the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. The initial part of the tribulation, maybe not so bad. In matter of fact, there is a peaceful part, but then there is destruction and death and all kinds of stuff that takes place. After the Antichrist comes back to life, he goes after the Jews, and God swallows. Interestingly enough, God swallows up his army as the Jews who understand and read the scripture will flee to the mountains, because they have been warned that Jesus actually warned them, when you see these things happen, and when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of, here in Daniel, flee to the mountains. Don't go back home. Just get out of town as quickly as possible. And this Antichrist is going to come after you. So they flee. And the idea is that they probably flee to, to Edom, which is Jordan, and probably to Petra is what folks think. And so they're safe and protected by God's angels and by God himself for this 3.5 year period. The Antichrist comes running after them with his armies, and his armies get swallowed up with an earthquake and are flooded, which is reminiscent of the Egyptian army coming after these same people, by the way.
the patterns that appear over and over and over bring everything together so beautifully and so stunningly when you draw those parallels.
It's amazing. This is why I love scripture so much. Because mm-hmm. when you, and as a scientist, it's like, you got to figure this out. And then these pieces start, falling into place. And you say, oh my gosh, this thing that happened to Israel when they were leaving Egypt reappears here at the end times. So God has a way of, causing things to happen again, which just amplify and show us who he is and who his character is, because he is protecting his people, at least those who love him. Now, the Jews that don't recognize, don't love him, and don't, follow after him, they will probably be highly persecuted, if not, killed, if they stay back in Jerusalem. But those who understand the scripture and obey what God has said will be saved during this period of time.
So is this the remnant, the 144,000 who are holed up in the mountains and are protected?
We are going way past Daniel now. That's okay. We have scripture. We have the Daniel. Revelation. So 144,000. There's 12,000 from each tribe. Mm-hmm. And people don't necessarily know which tribe they're from anymore. But we have the technology to figure that out, because the DNA analysis, we probably could figure out which tribe you were from, right? And where you came from. So, but the 144,000, these are young men who have not seen or experienced, not necessarily not seen women, but have not taken a bride. And so they are... they proclaim, they are proclaiming the Messiah that is going to come again. So God never leaves, doesn't leave us without a witness. So as you recall, the first 3.5 years, now we're getting really into Revelation, the first 3.5 years, we're going to have these two witnesses that are going to be in Jerusalem. And one of them is going to call fire from heaven. So that gives us a hint as to who that is. And the other one's going to be prescribing law, which gives us a hint as to who he is. So Moses and Elijah mm-hmm. are going to be the two witnesses. And you recall that Jesus, for example, had this this meeting before his death, where he was transfigured, and he had three of his disciples. He said, okay, you guys stay here and pray, and I'm going to have this special meeting. And so he didn't tell them that, but he winds up having this special meeting with two other guys.
Well, there's that pattern again, and there's that pattern showing up in a separate way. I want to mention this. This is Bible context. Seder suppers, Passover meals end with a fifth cup of wine, which is referred to as the Elijah cup. And it's filled but not touched. And it's left as a symbol until Elijah comes. This is for him when he comes. The Jews are waiting for Elijah.
Another
beautiful side of this is when now we read the New Testament and we see how Jesus teaches, and there are all these cross references to the Old Testament, but he refers to Daniel more times than you think. It's subtle, but it's there. And so now, and we're not done with Daniel yet by a long shot, but now you need to be sensitive to that. When you read Jesus' words in the New Testament, be aware that he's referencing Daniel in so many ways, and that increases the importance of that book for us. So, we're not even there yet, are we? We're getting there.
Well, no, I think we finished chapter 9. But...
Mm-hmm, yeah. Yeah. Well, now, chapter 10 is pretty mystical, too.
There was this interval that we really didn't talk much about between 69 and 70, the 70th week, and that is the church age, which started at Pentecost and will end when the last Christian has been saved, that can be saved. God is waiting for that number to be fulfilled, and when that time comes, he calls his church. And with the rapture, and then all hell breaks loose on earth.
Fascinating stuff. Don, we thank you for that. Don is a member of the Board of Creation Moments. I want to mention their website to you as well, creationmoments.com. There's a new one being prepared, and there's going to be a lot of Don's podcasts on that new website, so you can look forward to that. Pay them a visit now, though. There's a lot there for you that has to do with the biblical story of creation. And it's, again, creationmoments.com. Don, we'll look forward to what you've got for us next week.
Okay, very good. You folks have a wonderful week.
Thank you. You too.
Yeah.